Good morning, Grace. Am I on camera? There we go. How you doing? Welcome. Good to see you. It's good to not see you. I don't know. I'd love to see you is what I'd love to do. It's good to be able to see the worship team every week. Those guys are just troopers in and out. This week, Michelle came back with us, and so that was great to have her. And just singing with us. And so it's good to have some congregation here, right? Our worship team and our AV team. And these guys are great. I mean, I just hope you guys know it. Keep praying for them. The ones that make sure this happens all the time, Troy and our AV team and our worship team. And they're just rock stars in my book. And so keep praying for them. Thank you for them. And I hope sooner than later we'll be back together. I'm as frustrated as you are about that, but we're here, and so that's where we are. Like Troy said, we have lots of stuff. It is all on Zoom. None of it's in our building. Our youth meet on Zoom, our Bible studies, and I love that Rich is starting up his Bible study again this week on Thursday. And so if you need any help with that, Troy is our resident expert, and so I don't even know where he is. He's upstairs someplace. And he loves getting calls from you, so you just keep calling him. Middle of the night, if you're trying to Zoom to your aunt in Australia, you listen, it's okay. He doesn't mind. All right? So thank you for that. All right, so we get to open up God's Word, and we get to go before Him again. And praise God, right, for the technology that we had. Kimmy, if you're on, welcome from Florida. She texted me, I think it was early this week, and she said, "Pastor, I just thought about how cool that Grace Gospel a year or so ago started with this video stuff and making sure it was up online and getting everything together." And I know I was a pain in the butt to the worship team and to the AV staff and all of that, just trying to get it up on, and look at where we are. And so we were seamless being able to walk into that. And so praise God for His timing, right? Praise God for His timing. So the worship team, for the most part, survived it. We're not sure, but they're almost there. So, all right, you know what? I'm going to pray again because I need it, and so maybe you do too. Father, I love you. I love you. I love you. Lord, all the stuff that has happened, all the stuff that's gone on, the wave that we have been riding and even tumbling in at times, Father, we have lots of opinions about whether we should, whether we shouldn't. Lord, doesn't matter. We're here, and so we thank you that we're able to connect even in this way. We thank you that we're able to open up your word, and we're able to minister grace and to be able to worship together, even online. And I thank you for that, Father, and I thank you for the gifts that you have given us in this time to be able to do that. Father, would you be with us? Lord, we want to open up your word and get to know you. Father, we want to get to know who you are and as God, what you've said about yourself. So, Father, would you just meet us in this place? Father, would your spirit interact with our hearts and our souls that we would really, truly exalt you and point others to you, Father, as you are King and God. I love you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we decided, and you know this, we're week three into this series of wanting to get to know God a little bit better, and specifically wanting to get to know Jesus a little bit better. And what better way to do that than to get to know Him intimately? I mean, I don't mean head knowledge about Him, but intimately get to know Jesus by whom He said He was, by His description, and even in entering into that, because in His words, getting to know Him is really about trusting and believing and fully placing ourselves into the grace and glory of our God. And so, that's where we are today, and I just pray that that we can continue to do that. So we continue on our series, the I Am series, which we're walking through the seven statements, the I Am statements of Jesus. And today we get to talk about the light. So let me give you a little background about this, about what's happening in this passage. So if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 8, verse 12. You can get it on your phone, all that kind of stuff. John chapter 8, verse 12. And we're going to talk about the light. We're going to talk about the light today. So again, let me give you a little background of what's happening. In the context of this passage, we are, Jesus is, it's during the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And so the Feast of the Tabernacles was a wonderful celebration. It's one of the three great Jewish feasts. Josephus called it their highest and their greatest feast. It happens right around the Jewish New Year every year. And it's a feast that ran for 7 days. And then they would assemble with a, you know, with a special assembly on the eighth day where they would celebrate and they would worship God. And what they were truly celebrating, this Feast of the Tabernacles, was the ingathering of the harvest. So the ingathering of the grapes and the olives and God's provision for them continuously. And then even remembering God's provision for them in the wilderness. And so this was a great feast of this celebration of God. And so in chapter 7 and chapter 8, that's where we are. We're during this time of the Feast of the Tabernacles, and Jesus is in the temple area in this celebration. And there's two great symbols in the Feast of the Tabernacles. The first one is water. The great symbol of the Spirit of how the Spirit of God would flow out in and out of those who would believe. And so the Spirit is like water filling us. And you remember Jesus in John chapter 4 and his interaction with the woman at the well, and, you know, give me living water, water that will always be with me. Right? And then the other great symbol was the symbol of light. Now, listen, if you just think about Scripture at all, light is used throughout Scripture as a great symbol of God and of his truth and of his glory. We see the glory of God as he leads the people out of Egypt into the wilderness, and he guides them for 40 years at night with a pillar of light. And he leads them the whole way, guiding them in that. It protected them even from harm. When some would want to come, the pillar would go behind and protect them when the Egyptians were after them at the Red Sea. So it's that great symbol of light. All throughout Scripture, let me just give you a few verses of this. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1, he says this: "The Lord is the light, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" What great hope, right? I mean, in this time of COVID and where there's just a lot of uncertainty out there, we need to remember that the Lord is our light and our salvation. Who do we have to be afraid of? What do we have to be afraid of? We're in his hands, and we're always in his hands. Isaiah chapter 9, talk about bringing hope. Right, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, this great verse that we often read at Christmas time. Right? "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." And so there's this understanding of the darkness of sin and ugliness and all that's there, but the light will come. And of course, Christ did come. Right? Christ did come. He was born, and he was born as a light into this dark world to show us the way. God's powerful light is talked about in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 4. "And the radiance, and his radiance, I'm sorry, is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hands, and there is the hiding of his power." God's light is powerful and majestic and holy and right. And we'll expose all, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. In this coming eschatological age, right, in the coming age, and some believe, and I don't know, listen, I don't know when Christ is going to return. I know, or my guess is he's going to return soon. And so that just means, all that means is not to be fearful, but to preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to as many as you can. This is the time to do it. But in that time, in that coming age, it tells us in Isaiah chapter 60, look at what this time will be like. Verse 19 says, "No longer will you have sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light. But you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory." Revelation confirms that as he talks about what this new heaven and this new earth will be like. and this city that of Jerusalem, the great city. Chapter 21, verse 23 says this, "And the city has no need of sun or of moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it. And its lamp is the Lamb." I love that. Right? So God's light. Get this, in heaven, we won't even need a sun or a moon because the glory of God will shine. The glory of God will shine. Praise the Lord. And so to Israel, they understood this symbol of light. And so, as a matter of fact, what would happen during this great Feast of Tabernacles, as they remember, God's provision for them in the desert, as they remember taking them through, and then as they celebrate the harvest and God's continual provision for them, listen to the description of what happens. David Brickner says this. He's from Jews for Jesus. He says, according to the Mishnah, which is part of the oral tradition of the rabbis, gigantic candelabras stood within the court of the women. Each of the four golden candelabras is said to have been 50 cubits high. Now, a cubit is about 18 inches, all right? So we're talking 75 feet tall. Each candelabra had four branches, and at the top of every branch there was a large bowl. Four men bearing 10-gallon pitchers of oil would climb ladders to fill the four golden bowls on each candelabra, and then the oil in those bowls was ignited. Picture 16 blazing, beautiful blazing blazes leaping toward the sky from these golden lamps. Remember that the temple was still on a hill above the rest of the city, so the glorious glow was a sight for the entire city to see. In addition to the light, Levitical musicians played their harps, lyres, cymbals, and trumpets to make joyful music to the Lord. What a glorious celebration. The light was to remind the people of how God's Shekinah glory had once filled his temple. So get this, right? So they're in the midst of this celebration, right? Of these candelabras blazing. They understand the symbolic nature of light. And into that powerful environment, and into this, environment filled with all this symbolism, Jesus makes this declaration in John chapter 8, verse 12. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Do you get that? I mean, now, again, because you need to feel it, and you know this, if you've been in our congregation for any period of time, I've told you before, right, that I had a professor in seminary who would tell us that we want to get in and walk in the sandals of Jesus to be able to feel what's happening. So we often quote John 8:12, but we don't understand the symbolic or the significance behind it of what was happening at the time and what Jesus spoke into. Right, so there's this great feast that is happening with these lights and the symbol of light and the Shekinah glory of God, and then Jesus proclaims, "I am the light of the world." Jesus proclaims, "I am the light of the world." That's a powerful statement. And they understood just how powerful of a statement it was. And so he invokes that light in that, like I said, in that festival dripping, with illustration and ritual. He declares himself to be the light of the world. So think about the significance of that, would you? I mean, just take a second and breathe that in and imagine what this symbol is doing and what Jesus says in that. I like what it says in one of the commentaries that I have. It says this: "This discourse continues Jesus' public teaching. How fitting that during the Feast of Tabernacles, where large lamps were burning, Jesus said, 'I am the light of the world.' The world is in darkness, a symbol of evil, sin, and ignorance. Light in the Bible is the symbol of God and his holiness. Jesus is the light, not merely a light or another light among many lights. He is the only light, the true light for the whole world. When Jesus said, 'Whoever follows me,' he meant whoever believes and obeys him. Jesus was speaking of salvation. Coming to Christ for salvation results in a different kind of life. A believer will never walk in darkness. That is, he will not live in it. He does not remain in the realm of evil and ignorance, for he has Christ as his light and his salvation." Oh, I love it, right? Just that powerful symbol of what Jesus is talking about, how he is the light. So let's think about what light does and how he talks about it even within this passage and within Scripture. So first of all, this light reveals, right? Light reveals. Think about light. It reveals. Light exposes the things which are hidden in the dark. It illuminates the darkness. That's what light does. So sometimes we think that darkness is the opposite of light, but it isn't. Darkness is simply the absence of light. So where light comes into darkness, the darkness flees. It's gone. Well, we understand this, right? The world is a pretty dark place. Sin abounds. Sure, it sparkles and it glitters, but it's just leading us to places where we understand they don't satisfy, where we understand that they're empty and hollow, right into a black hole. In fact, we are sinful beings. So get that. Scripture is very clear that we are sinful, that we are born in a sin nature. And so it reigns in our bodies. And on our own, we are only in darkness. So in the world today, we like to think that we're not that bad, right? We like to think that we're not really bad sinners, that we're really not like that bad. But, you know, it doesn't take very long to understand how much of a lie that is. Even our conscience does us in. Scotty Smith, the author, says this. He says, to take hold of the communitarian love of God and the joy of the Godhood head is one thing. To accept God's painful assessment of our heart is another. As in Zephaniah's day, so in ours, very few of us really believe that we deserve God's punishment. Many of us actually feel he owes us an apology or two. I quoted a quote a few weeks ago, maybe several weeks ago now, that the person who is uncontent and living in discontentment with God, everything that he does for God is too much and everything that God does for him is too little. Because we really think we deserve better. Because we really don't think that we're that bad. And the reality of it is that God says that we are sinners. Matter of fact, let me just read you a quote just because it's coming to my mind right now and I feel like I need to read it. Romans chapter 3. Look at what God's assessment of us is, okay? As far as on our own. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There are none who seek for God. All have turned aside. Together they become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. And we could go on because the passage continues to go on. And of course, Romans 3:23, right? We go to there, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's not that you're bad and I'm not, or that I'm bad and you're not. We're all bad. And so we need, because we live in that darkness, we need the light to shine. And so into that darkness, the light has been given. Christ has come. Christ has come. What does light do? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Says, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Why? Because it's not hidden in shadows. Honestly, sometimes that's why we're afraid of God. Because sometimes we don't like people who love God, because not even that they judge us necessarily, but we feel judged when the light comes among us. So the fact is that darkness is in us. But get this, in our God, there is no darkness at all because he's light. 1 John 1:5 says this. This is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and that in him is no darkness at all. All right, so without God's revelation, without God's light, we walk in darkness. That is the truth of the reality of our lives. The ultimate of God's revelation is Jesus himself, the light coming to reveal and to expose and to drive away the darkness. So get this, Jesus could say truly that he is the light of the world. And that those who follow him, that those who believe in him, that those who trust him will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so we've talked about this in this introduction of this. for the last 2 weeks, that John's purpose of writing this gospel, and it's why I love John so much, is that it's all about life. It's all about real life. It's not about kind of, you know, getting, you know, as much out of life, sucking it out, and then just dying, and, you know, and then what? It's about life that's going to continue forever in eternity in Christ. And so Jesus has come to shine the light on us and our sin and on us as sinners, to reveal what we need in him and to become our light as we believe and trust in him. All right, so light reveals. That's important to understand. Light also guides. Light also guides. Light illuminates the path. So we understand this. If you're walking in the darkness, and if you're out someplace and there's no light there, you're going to trip and you're eventually going to fall, right? You don't hike through the woods without a light at night, because if you do, you're going to get hurt. And depending on where you are in the world, it could even mean really seriously bad hurt, because you could walk off of something. And so it illuminates this. Webster's, you know, in definition, simply said that light is something that makes vision possible. That is, if we walk in Christ, we'll not walk in darkness, because he is the light. So he guides us, so he gives us himself and his truth, so we understand where to go, how to walk. I'm amazed that as we try to figure out life, that we go to every other place for wisdom except for God. We go to every other place, and then it's only in desperation too often that we come back to God and back to his light. I love what Psalm 119, 105 says. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How it guides me, and it takes me, and it shows me what I need to do. You know what? The fact is that God and his word lead us in truth and lead us into righteousness. And that leads us into safety. You know, it's exactly what a lighthouse does. I love lighthouses. They're such a great symbol. As a matter of fact, if you come to my house or to my office, I mean, I used to have rooms full of lighthouses and don't anymore. But, you know, lighthouse has been a powerful symbol for me for a while. But really, because you think about a lighthouse, what does it do? It stands on the shore, and it gives a beacon to ships out on the ocean, and especially in rough times, and it shows it the way to come safely into harbor without hitting rocks and being destroyed in what it does. So it doesn't mean that there's no danger around. As a matter of fact, the lighthouse is there because there's danger around. And so if you're going to try to navigate into this place where there's a lighthouse, that means there's only one way to go. And so if you say, well, I'll figure it out on my own, you're going to be driven onto the rocks, and the waves are going to break up your ship, and you're not going to have a ship. So that's what lighthouses do. They guide a ship through the danger into safety. That's what God does. That's what his word does. And by the way, right in the book of John, you know, it says, word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In the very beginning of John chapter 1, Jesus is the word. As it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And I love that passage. So Jesus is separate from the Father, but the same. Is one with the Father, the Word. And then verse 14 said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Why? So that we can walk in light and so that we can walk in righteousness. And I got to tell you, it's not about a system of just figuring out how the best way to get about life is. It's about trusting and believing, because the light comes from within out, not out in. It needs to start within, that the light of God shines within our hearts, reveals our sin, so that we come and trust in him, and we trust in who he is, and then we walk in his way as believers in Christ. that we walk in his light, to allow him to guide us and to take us and to do what we need to do. Again, like I said a little earlier, you know, it's amazing to me how often we seek to find truth outside of God. And really what we're seeking to find is we're seeking to find something that works. And specifically, we're seeking to find something that works for me. In other words, something that makes me feel good, something that makes me, you know, want to be able to live whatever way I want to live and be okay in that. And listen, the problem with that is that God knows the right way and the right path, the path of righteousness. And so the world has a lot of information, but it's not always the truth. Just because it's read on the internet, just because it's published someplace, doesn't mean it's truth. Right? God's word is truth. And to stand firm in that and to stand firm in who he is. And so, like I said, too often as Christians, we're still looking for a light out there. And I got to tell you, the light is no place out but here. As a matter of fact, it's only good out there as it reflects who he is. As a matter of fact, that's our last point that we need to talk about and spend some time on, and that is that light reflects. Right? So light is not just here. You know, it doesn't just come from a source. It reflects out. So even in our church building, and again, we're not going to go back to see this, but you know, if you remember way back when you were in our church building, our lights point up, actually, and they reflect off the ceiling, which then pushes light out in every place that we are to brighten it up, to be able to see. We're adding more lights so that we can see. Why? Because that's what light does. It exposes and it reveals and it takes it all out. But we would be remiss if we did not remember that light indeed permeates. Right? So it impermeates, but it also reflects back out wherever it shines. True light does that. Darkness doesn't swallow up light. Darkness does not swallow up light. Light pushes away darkness. So I said, darkness is not the opposite of light, it's the absence of light. So where light comes in, it flees and goes out. It's interesting. It's an interesting passage. Matthew chapter 5. Says this, verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. This is Jesus talking to his followers, and he says, you are the light of the world. Now that sounds, I mean, a little bit contradictory, right? If we go back to John chapter 8, where Jesus says, I am the light, so is he just a light among other lights? And the reality is no. So how are we the light to the world if he is the light? And that's because what we need to do is not to shine out anything or produce anything from within us. Rather, we are to be reflectors of the great light. And you know, we've already read a passage where it says, no longer will there be sun, but there will not even be moon at night, right? Because the moon does give light at night. But I love this thought of what we need to remember. The moon, I don't know if you know, I'm assuming you do, it's a big rock. And as a matter of fact, it's a big rock with a lot of dust on it. It's covered in dirt, dust. And so that's what it is. And so it doesn't produce light. It doesn't make light. It doesn't illuminate in a sense where it just from the inner core, it somehow exposes and brings forth light. Yeah, not as bright as the sun, but you know, it's a smaller being, and so that's why it doesn't give much light. No. The moon has absolutely no light at all in and of itself. So then how do we see the moon? How is the moon? As a matter of fact, how on a clear night when the moon is full, how can we can even see where we walk on it? Not as good as when in sunlight, not even close, right? But if it's bright, I mean, we can go. How is that? Well, get this, and you know this. It's because the moon reflects the light of the sun. In other words, the moon is just there and the sun hits it, and the sun is so bright that the moon reflects the light onto the earth. It reflects the light. So guess what? We're not called, brothers and sisters, to be a light amongst ourselves, you know, in and of ourselves. We're called to be reflectors of the great light. And we're only reflectors of the great light as we have taken Christ and the light in us, allowed it to expose our sin, right? Allowed it to expose who we are. And then we walk unto that, like we talked about last week, of how he's died for us and to believe in him and to trust in him. But then we are to be the light to others. And we are to shine out his light. As a matter of fact, in Matthew, just a few verses later, he says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and they glorify your Father who is in heaven." So Jesus says, listen, shine, church, shine, shine. Don't hold it back. As a matter of fact, you know, in that verse, and you know, we didn't read this. You can go back and read this, right? He says, you don't put a city on a hill and then cover it up. You don't light a lamp in your house and then cover it up. You let it shine. That's why you light a lamp. So shine. You are meant to shine for Jesus. You are meant to shine his light and to be the great reflectors of our God. As a matter of fact, get this. The world will not see the light unless you shine him out. Jesus has called us as the church to be the great reflectors, to be the ones who shine out Jesus in a dark world. And I get it. I know you struggle with that. So stay on that picture. I'm walking out of it. I know it. I'm still here. I haven't gone anywhere. All right. But you remember this symbol? And I kind of set it up right there. There it'll work. Right? I know we feel like that. And maybe even in this time right now of COVID-19, you really feel like that. Maybe you've been scared for the last 7 weeks. Maybe you've been kind of hunkering in and you feel like you haven't been able to do anything and you haven't been able to go anywhere. Well, you haven't been able to do anything. You haven't been able to go anywhere, right? You're sitting at your home and you're Zooming and you're connecting somewhat. Maybe you have your family at home, and I sure hope it's been a great family time for you. I hope we've come to realize that we don't need all this other junk in our lives filling us up. You know, that we can actually take time and spend time. I sure hope you miss being here. My text to you guys this week. As a matter of fact, I text everybody in our church every week. I've kind of taken Tuesdays to do that, Tuesday text day. If you haven't gotten a text from me, it's because I don't have your number. So give me a text, if you will. Email me at the church or text me, and then I'll have your number. Because it's not in my system someplace. And I may have had it at one point and I didn't put it in my contacts. I'm sorry about that. Because I want to connect with you, right? And my text this week was, I'm sure you're tired of this whole online thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to list names. I got several responses that told me, no, I'm not really tired of it. I like waking up in my pajamas, having coffee, sitting in front of my TV. All right? Well, you heathens will come back to church eventually. But, all right, now, and I get it. I get that we've still connected, right? I get that there's actually something. And like I said, these guys are rock stars here. Our worship team, our AV team, who are making this possible. Troy, I mean, these guys are rock stars, I'm telling you. And they have kept us connected in a lot of ways. And so, just so proud to be a part of that team. But I hope what it's done is that you've you're missing church a lot. You're missing contact with people. You so want to be here and worship. You so want to be before our God, but as a community of believers. And to be honest, I hope never again. But if there might be, not for a long time, do we take for granted what we have in being able to meet together. Matter of fact, maybe we've gotten a little picture of the persecuted church that's not able to meet in public and where they are. You know? So I hope we don't take it for granted, because I think the reality and the truth is that a lot of us do at times, don't we? And you wake up on Sunday morning and you're tired and I'm just going to stay home. And well, guess what? We're going to continue to live stream, but our live stream is not so that you don't have to come to church. Our live stream on a regular basis is really for those who can't make it to church for whatever reason, whether they're sick or something's going on, and for others to connect to us. It's not so that we can be lazy and not come together. And I hope that we've understood that we can't take that kind of stuff for granted. That we can't do that. And my prayer is that we're not taking for granted the things of God anymore. And that means connecting, and that means showing, and that means reflecting. That means being what Christ calls us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, that we are ambassadors for him. And so, it might take some thought. A week and a half ago, we did a video on Facebook with Kim Green about how her and several others prayer walk in their neighborhoods, and how that's led to conversations and how people are more open. And I got to tell you, these are some beautiful days. Thank God, right? Finally, we're just some good days. Today's going to be a beautiful day. Go prayer walk your neighborhood. Call somebody in the church. Don't call 40 people in the church and come together in a big gaggle and go out, okay? All right, be safe. Walk 6 feet apart and pray for your neighborhood. And then next Sunday or sometime this week, get together in their neighborhood, that partner that you have. And go represent Jesus and go show love and talk to people about him. And live in the power of the light. Live in the goodness of God and his light. Like our worship team sang of that special, right? Go be the light. Go be the light to others for God's glory. Jesus said this, John chapter 8, verse 12. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Come to Jesus. My prayer is that if you haven't, that you will. That you would allow the light to not just shine around you, but to shine in you. To believe and to trust in him alone for your salvation. That when it comes in, that you would allow it to permeate everything about you, and that you would allow it to guide you and lead you, and that you would begin making decisions not just on what's practical or what other people do or what other people say, but based on his truth and his word. And then that you then would then go be the light. That you would shine out the light of Jesus, that you would bring hope to others. Not the hope of even lasting another day on this earth, but the hope of lasting in Christ for an eternity. He who follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you have the light? And if you do, are you shining it out? Let me pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for your goodness, grace, mercy, and love. I thank you for what you give us. I thank you for the light of Christ. Lord, there is absolutely no doubt that we are desperate, and I mean desperate for the light. We walk in darkness. And Father, let us not, Lord, there have been times in my life where I've allowed the darkness to overwhelm me. And I get kind of honestly caught in the darkness and think that the darkness is going to win, or that the darkness is you know, chasing away the light, but it can't. It can't. It can try to snuff it out, but true light permeates everything. Father, I pray, Lord, for those even who are with us today on Facebook Live or on YouTube or on some other means, Father, that, Lord, that you would, Father, shine that light into them. Father, that they would see your light, that they would see your goodness, that they would see your grace. They would come to you. Father, that they would not come necessarily, you know, not to religion, not to, oh, I got to go, just go back to church. Lord, church is great, Lord, but church isn't the answer. Jesus is the answer. Because church is only a reflector of the light if it's a true church. If it's a true church. So, Lord, may we be the true church. May Grace Gospel be a church that exalts Christ in everything that we do, and that in everything that we do, we point others to you. Because we're just reflectors of you. Lord, we love you. God, we love you. Thank you so much for your grace and mercy. Thank you so much for the light in our darkness that brings us to the light and allows us to shine it out to others. I love you, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.